morning, sir. John B. Wells in with you, as the man said. Say this, the tsunami warning has gone into effect. The Pacific Tsunami Warning Center, NOAA's National Weather Service, widespread warning, watch, or advisory in effect, and the meters all the way over into the red being severe. It says a small tsunami created by a magnitude 7.7 quake was barely noticeable in Craig, Alaska, where the first wave or surge was recorded tonight. It was recorded 4 inches, much smaller than forecast. But while the warning for those areas was downgraded, a warning was issued for Hawaii. Officials said a tsunami wave could hit the islands by 10:30 p.m. Saturday. So it's going to be 1:30 a.m. Pacific Daylight Time. Local TV stations in Hawaii are running live news updates and warning tourists to check with hotels. So I'll tell you what, let's try this. Come on. Come on. Try this. You know where Hawaii is. Put your mind there right now. Just if you're driving, you don't have to participate, right? Put your mind there right now. You see the map? Okay. Push harder. Good. Push that thing back. Make it stop it. Right there between BC and Hawaii. I can't say the meter's moving down, but maybe. All right, we'll be back with David Rubin in just a minute. Everybody in Hawaii, cover up. Take care. We're thinking about you. This is Coast to Coast AM. David Rubin, we were talking a few minutes ago about how the moment that someone sees a pornographic image, they go into sort of a, well, like a roe buck goes into rut. They just kind of just do a little temporary flatline on the old electroencephalogram, so to speak. And now I want to know, does at that moment, does it make it possible for some of these demonic entities to make contact or maybe even make entry?
Yeah, absolutely. Look, people have to live off of energy of some sort. I mean, it's not the food that we eat. That's fuel for our machine. So there's one of two energies that people live off. I mean, why are people so fascinated with vampires?
I don't know. I've been wondering that for the last couple of years.
But it's the idea of being undead, being immortal. Of course, sucking of another person's blood is a parasitic thing. That's what mosquitoes and vampire bats do. But if you romanticize that concept and say to people, look, there's a way that it's exactly what happened in, as a metaphor, in the Star Wars movie. Go to the dark side. There's power there. I mean, people are lured to the dark side every moment of every day by the billions to get energy, to find a source from which to function, motivation, a motive. And again, I don't want to be a shameless self-promoter. This is not for me. This is for you, the listening audience, especially to Coast to Coast. I have a free download. It's called Campfire for the Mind. And it's a little exercise that helps you position yourself in your body so that your mind is not reaching out and that nothing is able to reach in. And you're safe there so that you can rest, maybe for the first time ever in your life. I had my children do it. I asked them, how did it work for you? And my 8-year-old son said to me, I've never slept better in my life. Never. It works for everyone. It's free. Because
how do you know of? All right, let's have the website again.
It's davidrubin.net, RUBN.net.
All right, and are there other downloads there? Are we going to have, let me look at it while
Absolutely.
We're talking here.
I have one called The Best Sleep Ever. It's an extended version with a different kind of focusing exercise, but these are all designed to allow you to breathe again, to not have to go to sleep intoxicated or medicated. I'm not saying that not to take your medication. I'm saying what you're doing is you're suppressing your anxiety, your fear. You're suppressing your responses to things that are going bump in the night. And if you understand how to find yourself where you belong in the present moment, in the now, not being projecting forward and not looking backward, but just seeing right here in the moment, not having that amnesia that pornography gives you, by the way, but being actually very still and very present, you find yourself being completely renewed, and you're able to get up and see the world in an entirely different way. You become an extra-dimensional person. This is not new stuff, John, and I'm sure you know that there have been great teachers throughout the history of the human race that have brought people the information that others did not want them to have.
Well, that's true, and it also depends a lot on the style of the presenter as to how well it's received, and you have a unique way of bringing this information. Yes, these issues are virtually timeless. But I got another issue that's I'm thinking virtually timeless, and it may be phrased in a simplistic manner, but forgive me if I do that. I don't mean it to be simplistic, but why do the bad guys always seem to have better fashion sense?
Well, I'll tell you why. And the bad guys are not going to like this. But you got to remember something, and that is that, look, when we see these people doing their debates, how many coaches do you think they have telling them, you know, how to dress, what to say, what not to say?
A room full.
I'm a professional coach, so I know this business inside and out. But let me tell you something. I get coaching, too. And it's not from the dark side, okay? I have my coaches, and guess what? I saw my angels when I was a young man. I saw them when I was 17 years old when I said, to hell with everybody, I'm leaving. I'm never coming back. And I'm walking down the street, and above me, just a little watermark, I saw these huge beings. And they said to me, there's nothing out there for you. That's all they said to me. And I'm telling you that I knew in that moment that I was not alone in this universe, that there is an intelligent designer, that he sends you what you need, and especially if you ask or if you knock, the door will be opened. Okay? And you'll be shown what you need to be seeing about your life and other people and the way that you should live and the way you shouldn't live. And it's a totally individual experience. No two people have the same experience.
Isn't it interesting how when you mention these things to some people, they're not like, oh, David, come on. I mean, this is fun and everything, but you know, there's nothing spiritual to this. It's all just nuts and bolts and skin and bone, and we're all made of stars, and that's it. And the universe burst into existence on its own, all that. They don't come at you with that. They come at you with, you stupid, backward, religion-believing fool. I've come for your soul. You know, they say everything except the last line I embellished a little, but they come back at you with such vehemence. It's like you just kind of grin at it and say, must have pushed a button. I mean, it seems to me that you're coming back just a wee little bit stronger than is required to just rebut my comment.
Well, what you're doing is, if you're speaking any kind of truth, what you're saying is you can take off your chains now. You don't have to be a slave any longer. You can be free from the entity that's controlling you, whatever that entity may be.
Do some people like it, David?
It's all they've known. And so...
Well, I mean, some people enjoy going to horror movies. Ozzy Osbourne said, isn't it amazing how people are paying money to come to a movie and be scared to death? To see a horror movie, let's make horror music. That's how that started with him.
Yeah.
That's actually a perfect Ozzy.
There's a reason for that, too. And that is because, you know, when a person joins a gang, they go through an induction, and they basically the gang just beats the hell out of them. And they pummel them into submission. So what people do once they are inducted into any society of any kind that wants to control their mind and their body and their soul, they have to appease. They have to appease the force or the entity or the person, whatever it may be. And so there are a lot of people who have learned that appeasement is the only way to survive.
Is there such a thing then as spiritual masochism?
Absolutely.
Oh, Lord.
Well, it's true. And, you know, you've got to shine the light on it in order for people to awaken and see that there's another possible life for them to live.
You know, somebody said something very interesting recently. Her name is Rosa Corey. I promised I'd quote her a bunch of times because I thought it was genius. And what she said on the program, and I asked her, did you just make that up? And she said, well, yeah. And she said, you cannot control what you don't know you have.
That's right.
Absolutely. And I thought, wow, does that ever apply to a lot of things? I'm writing that down.
Yeah,
how do you find out what you have? How do you determine, David, if you really are being tinkered with by a demonic force, let's just call it that, because that's what it is, or you're just slightly neurotic, or are they one and the same?
there are varying degrees of everything. I mean,
okay.
So, but here's the main point. You have to discover who you are not, which is what happened to me. That was the first thing that happened when I had my out-of-body experience. I discovered who I wasn't. And so whatever was inflicted upon me beyond that point had different meaning. I wasn't my body. I wasn't my ego. I wasn't my pride. I wasn't my achievements. I wasn't my words. I discovered that something about me was entirely separate from all of that. And that was my soul, my spirit, my essence, whatever that was. And so the first process, what I call a conscious process of elimination, who am I? Is that me? Wait a minute. I learned that. That happened to me when I was a child. I was traumatized. I was taught to believe this. How much of who you are is the sum total of what you've been told? Because it's really inauthentic to have a life based upon what other people tell you. It's like being the Aborigines in Australia. They carry on their history as a verbal tradition, and they pass it down. They have to memorize it. But imagine how blindingly difficult it must be to fit somebody else's life into your body and into your mind and into your soul, into your spirit, into every step that you take in life. It's about somebody else. It can't be that way.
Well, then tell me. Why are fear, shame, hate, and self-loathing the food of demons?
Because it is the antithesis of what it means to be alive. All of those things are things of death.
Aren't those just the most miserable feelings? We've all had a wee little taste of it. We might not wallow in it, but we've all had a little taste. It's miserable.
But you see, and you know the old saying that misery loves company?
Sure.
But misery doesn't want to be alone. See, misery draws in other people. You know, it's like gossip. It's like water cooler gossip. Did you hear what happened to so-and-so? That's a form of subliminal communication. What it really means is, let's get together and judge so-and-so. Let's feel better than that person over there who's going through that difficult time. And that's a feeding process. But what it does is it also invites parasitic spiritual entities. I'll tell you about my own life changing event. It happened about, I'm going to say 15 or 16 years ago, right before I was forced to endure a horrible divorce. I hadn't communicated with my ex for about 6 months. I decided, you know what, I'm going to withdraw, and I'm not going to react to the cruelty. I'm not going to react to the taunts. I'm going to find my own peace of mind. And I determined I will not be like what it is that's tormenting me. So I started dealing with things very differently. And after 6 months, I went to sleep one night. And it was a very strange sleep. I went into what is commonly known as a hypnagogic state, where I had sleep paralysis. Then I started to have the dream, the lucid dream. In the dream, the ex comes toward me, a beautiful human being, physically. And the ex is very kind and wants to kiss me. But then, this is what happened. There was a shift of consciousness. Wait a minute. Something's wrong with this picture. I haven't talked to this person for 6 months. Now they want to kiss me? In that very instant. And I'm in a state of sleep paralysis at this point. I cannot move. I'm frozen. I'm half awake and half asleep. In that moment, the dynamic shifted from that being the form of a beautiful woman to a giant tube worm with teeth spiraling down into its belly and a vacuum sucking away at my soul.
Oh, no.
Yeah. And I felt I could feel the air going by my ear, the wind of the vacuum sucking. And I thought, this thing is trying to suck my soul out of my body. And all that I knew to do in that moment was to say the words that have so much power. And believe me, I'm not what you would call a mainstream Christian. I'm not even a Christian, although I believe in this higher power, and I believe in the prophets that were sent. But I said, in the name of Jesus, with my mouth. I knew I had to say it with my mouth. In the name of Jesus, go away. And in that moment, this worm, this giant tube worm that was sucking coming at me began to deflate in this dream. And I was holding it at bay. I had my arms. It was taking every bit of strength, and I'm in this sleep paralysis, struggling in this lucid dream, this nightmare. And then it started to deflate, and I could just see it getting smaller, and it was still sucking all the way. And again, I thought, I have to say this again. In the name of Jesus, go away. Because I knew that Jesus was the one person, if there was such a person, that had the power to control the outcome of this story. And it deflated, and I picked it up, and I tossed it away like a deflated balloon. 1 week later, the ex left. And that was the end of it.
I'm getting a little confused here. Is there a succubus crossover here, or this is apples and oranges?
Absolutely.
Okay, gotcha.
Look, men and women, there are Trojan horses there, and they are the human beings in our lives. And they come looking like a gift, and they exit leaving like a plague. And they wreak havoc on our lives, and we don't know what we're dealing with. But remember, we're not dealing with flesh and blood. We're dealing with principalities and powers in high places. And if in fact there is an order, a pecking order, from heaven to hell, these things have been targeted on the human race. They've been placed in our lives. We don't know what we're doing. I mean, we think that these people are really human beings. And in fact, they've been co-opted many years ago, maybe when they were children. And they've been turned over to a different use, a different purpose, and that is to take down as many people as they can before they leave.
Let me ask you this, David. You've heard people refer to, I'm sure, as, oh, that person is just an energy vampire. What is that?
Absolutely.
Is that succubus syndrome again? You know, I'm taking this succubus thing, it's like it sucks the life out of you, but I'm thinking it might be just my brain putting that correlation together rather than it actually being, you know, anywhere near accurate, because you've said it's a female entity that preys on men.
Yes.
I get all of that.
Thing is that sexuality is a huge issue because it was weaponized by evil.
You know what? I've never heard words like this come out of anyone's mouth before. It was weaponized by evil.
Well, because otherwise sexuality is a beautiful thing. And look at nature. There's really nothing going on out there but reproduction and whatever it is, it's just what it is. But human beings obsess over it. You know, they kill for it. They maim and they fight wars over it. I mean, the Battle of Troy was fought over a woman.
Yeah. Well, look what happened to, Hercules, David, and Solomon.
Absolutely. These are all moral tales of why we have to be careful about who we pledge our lives to and for what
old reason. Stories. Yeah. Stories never change, it appears.
Yeah, but sexuality was weaponized, and now it is the source of, it's the bane of all existence, because, you know, you can't live with it, and you can't live without it.
Isn't it strange, David? I mean, that's absolutely the truth, but what's the basis of virtually every scandal? Sex first, money second.
Yep, absolutely. But at the same time, it also brings us to a possible awakening, a realization. You know, where am I going with this? Why have I given my life over to this? Whatever it may be, whatever kind of sexuality it may be, you have to realize you're being held hostage by this. And behind it is a dark force. It's not the sex that's the problem, I told you. The studies have shown that there's a moment of amnesia. There's a release, but then there's the recaptivity of the person. And so we destroy our lives, we destroy other lives, because we are compelled by forces beyond our understanding, beyond our control. So you must take back control over your life. You must find inner peace. That's one of the things I offer on my website at davidrubin.net. A beautiful exercise to bring back the inner peace, to get you out of that struggling mode, to get you to become objective for a moment, to see what's really going on in your life, to step back like the Truman Show. You know, the director of that show knew exactly what was happening every moment of Truman's life. We are the Truman Show. We are all the Truman Show. All of our lives are being watched all the time, not necessarily by humans, but yes, by humans, but always by other dimensional beings.
This is an excellent discussion tonight, David Rubin. We will come back for our final segment. I have three specific questions that I'd like to ask our guest tonight. Thank you very, very, very much for joining us. I'm very concerned about our friends in Hawaii. Somebody shoot me an email if things get silly, will you? John B at coasttocoastam.com, J-O-H-N, B as in Bravo, at coasttocoastam.com. Let me know what's going on over there, would you? All right, we'll be right back. This is Coast to Coast AM. Yes, indeed. But what do the voices tell you? Well, I'll tell you what, let's get through. I've said this before. It's like I get it. I really do. But let's get through our little floating break here and then get back with David Rubin as quickly as we can, because this is just too much fun is the easiest way to say it, because it I think it offers some answers to some questions that have been just dogging lots of people, including myself, for a whole lot of years, but eloquently stated and otherwise rationally put. And now you know why it's such a good idea to be a Coast Insider. You got 3 years of archive shows, because I don't know about you, but I'd like to play this one back a couple of times just to hear what David Rubin has to say. Make sure that it sinks in and stays there. You know, the brain cells flow in, the brain cells flow out. It's good to have some backup, so consider becoming a Coast Insider. It's inexpensive, and you will enjoy it. We'll be back with David Rubin in just a moment on Coast to Coast AM. John Dean with you for the ride on into the, rest of the program, which is rapidly coming to a conclusion, but we got some time here left with David Rubin. Square me away on something here, David. I'm slow, but I eventually get it. So now where the incubus is concerned, this is an entity that preys on men and women, while the succubus preys on men, the incubus preys on both. Is that correct?
Yes, it can.
Okay, gotcha.
It doesn't really have a particular form that it uses. It's a seduction. It's a spirit of seduction. And it will take whatever form it needs in order to accomplish its goal. But you got to remember something, John. These things have no power. They only have the power that we give them. And so what I'm telling everyone is that, for example, people that have problems with food, it's not the food. It's the demon, okay?
All right.
Once you identify, it will die. Demons die, John.
Do they?
They're parasitic. Just like you can kill fleas on a dog, you can kill the demons in your life by identifying them and becoming aware of them. The minute you become aware of them, it's like putting a magnifying glass of light. The heat of that light burns them, and they can't stay, and they fail. There's an epic fail for demons, and they're punished in hell. They're punished in that spiritual place that they go to answer to their overlord. They're punished for not getting you.
You believe there's a literal hell?
There is a literal hell. And I'm going to say it because I don't know anybody else that has. It's here. We're in it. This was heaven before the demons came, before the angels were thrown out of heaven, before there was a war between good and evil. This was heaven.
It does make me wonder why the humans treat each other the way they do, by and large. You know, there's some degree of fear, or, you know, got to stay ready. It seems like the moment that you relax and you're just kind of strolling through the mall or whatever, strolling down the sidewalk, there's somebody right there to stiff arm you the moment that you drop your guard.
Bear in mind, we are all prisoners. We're slaves. Through our reactions to these experiences that we have in life, if we feel hate toward another person, look, on my website at davidrubin.net, I have a list of different demons. I think people should identify them, begin to understand that it's the problems that you're having, you're not delusional. They're real. These spirits are there. They mess with your mind. They cause you to have fear. They cause you to have anxiety. I have a title on my website called Free from Anxiety, No Fear, No Worry. You can get rid of it. You deprive them of oxygen. You take away their life force, the energy of your everyday life. You take that away from them, they have to leave. Now, remember, in the Bible, it talks about Jesus casting out demons and driving them into a herd of pigs.
Yep.
They have to go somewhere. And I've heard that some people can direct them toward other people. I wouldn't do it if it was me. I wouldn't mess with them. I would just get rid of them. But you can get rid of everything that is bothering you by identifying it, becoming aware of it, not feeding your energy to it, because they only have the energy we give them. And once we decide that we don't want to give them our energy and we become objective, they cannot stay. They leave and they take all their friends with them.
All right, let me give you a multi-level, a multifaceted question here that I hopefully I can phrase it so it won't be all over the place. Women who feel like they're being raped by demonic entities, they dream this, it looks real. I mean, I've even heard stuff that, well, I'll just say it. A demonic-looking face with glowing yellow eyes comes up from, you know, between their legs, and they're being raped by this damn thing.
Yeah.
What do they do about it? And because Christ was the incarnation of God, he has the authority, even if you're an atheist?
Absolutely.
And you say the name of Jesus, really?
Yeah, absolutely. There's no such thing as a real atheist. There is no such thing. There's only people who don't know how to believe, and that's why they say, I'm an atheist. I don't believe in God. But you know what? To be human is to be a part of it all. And to say that you are not human, it's like saying you're an atheist. It's like saying I don't exist. Because you can deny it all you want. And people that are slaves, by the way, people who are addicted to an enslaved way of life, say they want to be there by their own choice. You ever talk to a person who smokes and say, well, I can quit anytime I want?
Oh, sure, 100 times.
You know, people that have obsessive compulsive behaviors, why do they have those behaviors? What's really going on there below the surface? There's no such thing as OCD. It is a spiritual malignancy. It's something that's in their being because they don't know it. They don't see it. They haven't acknowledged it, and they haven't become aware of it. And this is what my entire life's work is dedicated to helping people to do. Free your mind. You don't have to live this way anymore. You take away their power, they can't do anything to you. They have to leave.
All right, then a woman who feels like she is being abused in her sleep, in a dream state, by what she perceives to be as a demonic entity, should do what?
You have to understand, it only works if you are ready to be sincere. If you want to be saved, you will be saved. But if you're your own worst enemy, as many people are, you struggle with it on your own. Okay? If you fall in the water in the nighttime and the waves are tossing you around and there's a person on a boat above you, do you not say, throw me a life jacket? Do you not cry for help?
Yes.
It's the most basic thing. But see, a lot of people were starved of love as children. So they don't really believe there is anything as real love in the world, because the people who were the ones who were charged with caring for them failed. And so they feel that the world just doesn't have what they're looking for, and they don't believe there's anything there that will come to save them. But I'm telling you, there is. It saved my life, John. It saved my life so many times that I can't even tell you. I was almost killed in the hospital in 2007. I went in because I had atrial fibrillation. It's a disease of older people, of the heart. The rhythm of the heart just races. It's people who have a lot of stress. Well, I have a lot of stress because I see a lot of things that other people don't see. I went into the hospital. They're supposed to give me a medication to bring my heart rate down. But guess what? They left me on that medication for 8 hours. And when I told them I was dying, and my heart rate was around 20 when I passed out. I don't know if I died. I woke up 4 hours later. And there were two people standing over me, checking every sign that I had. I didn't feel anything when I was gone. I didn't have a near-death experience. I didn't see the light. I didn't feel like I was gone. I just knew that I was back when I opened my eyes. I've been saved from death many times. I almost drowned when I was 18 years old, 4 times. I was washed up on the shore. I had a broken rib, a punctured lung. How did I get on the shore, John?
I don't know.
How did that happen? I was out, way out in the water. And all of a sudden, I rush up on the shore. It happens. If you are not meant to go down, you will not go down.
Isn't that the truth?
Leave this earth, you will be on this earth until you learn the lessons you were put here to learn. I'm going to help you on that journey. That's what I want to do. And I have a free download, Campfire for the Mind, for children, for everyone. I want to hear feedback from your listeners. I want people to tell you how it's changed their lives. Just this little 5-minute exercise. It's
DavidRubin.net.
Yeah.
Yeah, don't just put in Rubin.net. That won't work. That'll take you someplace you don't want to go. I just did it by accident.
Ah.
DavidRubin.net. Go there only. Okay, and what form is the download in? Is it just a little PDF or something that they can read? And
it's a free audio download.
Oh, gotcha. It's an audio download. All right.
It's an exercise. It explains what the meaning of dreams are. Because your dream state, we have to actually do a whole show on the alternate reality of dreams, because it really is more real than the life we're living. We're prisoners in this life. The reason why dreams are so powerful is because all the filters are removed and you get to see what really is. You get to see everything without filters on. Everything. You get to see yourself without filters on. Take off all the blinders. You see a startling reality. The question is, can you handle it? Are you
ready? Isn't that the truth? The question is, can you handle it? All right, then. How should we, just based on what you have learned, how should we walk through our lives? I mean, and can we expect, as we approach an awakening that you mentioned, basically renouncing the fantasy lust syndrome, experience this awakening, and should we be prepared for escalated attacks from the dark side upon us as we get closer to the light?
Yes, yes, and yes. Now, what is the right way to walk through this life? What is the opposite of fear? What is the opposite?
Just the absence of it.
Right? What's the opposite of worry? Do you know what worry is? Worry is a belief in a negative outcome. This is the first thing I started to understand as a young man. I was always worried. You know why? I was afraid something was going to happen. I tried to control outcomes. Guess what? All I did was trip over my own self. I got in my own way. I became my own worst enemy. So I said, I'm going to stop believing in these negative outcomes. I'm going to step back and be objective to this whole thing and realize I'm being influenced by different things that are coming at me, different scenarios racing through my mind. Is that my mind? No, that's not my mind. That's not me. And when I became objective, I didn't even know what it was to worry anymore. But you see, you got to be ready to see what I'm saying. You got to be ready to experience a different way of living. No fear, no worry. It's one of the titles I have available for download. All my titles are audio titles. You can read about my life-changing experience as an out-of-body experience. I call it a near-life experience because it was the most alive I've ever been when I wasn't in my body. That sounds weird, I know, but
not really.
It was a near-life experience. I want to experience that forever.
You know, I've got one for you, David. Are all people the same, just some are possessed and some are not?
Some are possessed and some are not. Very few are not. Most people have... See, remember, think about the idea of being possessed. When a person is in a prison cell, the prison has control over them.
Yes.
They look out of that prison from behind bars. So the prison possesses them. It's captured them. So when you look at possession, look at it differently. Don't think of it as a frightening, horrible thing. Look at it as a form of imprisonment. It is enslavement to something you don't understand. Know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. That is the most powerful idea. It's what John is doing every night when he comes on the radio, when he's talking to people. He's imparting some truth to them. And that truth is designed to awaken people and to set them free from these blind beliefs that they've adopted. We've adopted everything that we believe in our lives, John. It's so inauthentic. The average person, they wear the brands of their masters on their clothes. Look at me.
Isn't
I have a logo on. See that logo? It costs more than yours. Think about it. Everyone is branded.
And it's on a subconscious level, but it's having its effect, isn't it?
It does, because it's a domino effect, because when you believe something, you cannot help but impart that belief to others. You're under a compulsion to do so. And when you stop believing that, you're under a compulsion to tell other people, I no longer believe that. I've seen the light. I see that there's a different way of looking at things. And it's freedom.
What do we do about style and so forth and expressing our individuality through style?
It's a very interesting question. We could do a whole show on it.
We sure could.
And because I'm a huge critic of fashion. Fashion is fascism. It's emotional fascism. Because what it does is it controls you from the outside in. So when you put something on, what you're doing is you're putting on a cloak. Okay? And when I was young, I used to shop in thrift stores because I could go in there and I could buy 15 different kinds of wardrobes for a few bucks. And I was a wardrobe guy. I mean, I always was changing my look. If it wasn't disco pants and a disco outfit and a high-heeled sequined shoes, I was a cowboy with cowboy boots and a cowboy hat. I was constantly changing my persona. I was trying to look for what was fitting me. And I found out that was all just dress up like little kids do because they don't know. They want to be like adults. They want to feel what it feels like to be their father, their mother. So fashion is really, it's psychological fascism. And people are controlled by it. It's very bizarre. But it's the inauthentic person who doesn't understand the nature of individuality that is compelled by the herd to do what the herd does. They did psychological studies on people. They took 200 people. They put them in a room. They had four people, go against the conventional wisdom. And eventually, all of the other 200 people followed with them, even though it was detrimental to the group. The studies are there. And they show that, yes, we do conform. There is a groupthink that happens. And all it takes is a few people to affect huge changes in the population. And that's why these insane debates are raised about one thing or another, moral debates. And then people start debating it. You see? And then slowly but surely, our natural resistance to these ideas is lowered. And eventually, we boil to death in our own ideas. Like the frog who just gets used to the warm water and never jumps out until he boils. We boil to death in the debates that go on in our own minds. We die there.
You know, I've got another one for you, David. I bet you can expand on this a little bit. I'll just say it in one word.
Yeah.
Hollywood.
Hollywood is the dream of everyone. It's the Truman Show. It's the most brilliant movie I've ever seen in that sense because at one point in your life, you want to be noticed by everyone. You want to be the focus of everyone's attention. And then the next moment, you want to run and hide and get away from that attention because of what it produces in you. It produces feelings of anxiety, fear, worry. What do people think of me? I mean, I would never want to be one of those people. I work with them. Trust me.
What about the product, David?
Hmm?
What about the product? If a demonic, let's say a demonically possessed person manages to put out puts out a film that has a profound effect on its viewers because they say, oh, this thing is just so scary, you can't believe it, oh, it's just disgusting, or it's this, or it's that, or it's so erotic, it's this, or that, or the other. Is it possible that through the work of a possessed person, the possessor can actually transfer its power through that person's work? I think I just answered my own question. Into the people who receive the work?
Yeah, I mean, pornography is that, because look at the proliferation of pornography. And the people who do it get rich, filthy rich, and it's filthy money. And people who want to make weird movies and corrupt people, it's their mission. It's what they do. I mean, and they get rewarded for it by the forces that be. By the powers that be that are out there. But you know what? Listen, I want to say at the end of the show, I believe in the goodness of human beings. People are more good than anybody quite understands. The goodness of human beings, look at what a great country we have. Look at how many people at a time of a terrible natural disaster, an earthquake or fire, look at how people could take advantage of that situation, but they run to help other people. I'm the kind of guy that runs toward the fire. I couldn't imagine myself running away from a fire where people were being burned to death. I am compelled to run toward the fire. The goodness of human beings is so powerful, and I love what you did with Hawaii. I loved how you directed people's minds to focus on Hawaii and move Hawaii out of danger. This is exactly what I do. You and I are spiritual brothers. I said, wow, this guy gets it. I believe in the goodness of the power of human goodness. People are much better. They're 90% good. Well, even the most horrible person is better than they are evil. But they've given themselves over, like Frankenstein's henchmen. They've succumbed. They've coalesced. They grovel at the feet of something they don't understand that they could just kick aside. if they were had the mind to.
David, you must come back on the program. We must spend some more hours together. It's been an absolute pleasure to be with you tonight, and thanks for being with us.
A great honor, John. I greatly appreciate it. I want to drive people to get the free download, Campfire for the Mind, at davidrubin.net.
Go get it, everybody. Hey, thanks to our guest tonight. First couple hours, Jack Rourke, and then David Rubin. Everybody at Coast to Coast AM, and especially you, the best listeners on this or any other planet. I'll see you, or at least talk to you, next Saturday night. Until then and beyond, good night and be well. Mothership out.